encouraging. The singing has been so encouraging. Appreciate your praise of God and praise to encourage one another. Speak those words of praise to Him and encouragement to each other. Young people, you're going to be really disappointed tonight. This lesson on respecting our parents, it may not be what your parents are hoping for. There's hope, Chloe. So appreciate all of you listening carefully. But you know, I saw something this afternoon that was just really encouraging. And that was, I'm just guessing, Emma, you're probably not a teen yet, but Abby, you close. That the young people were serving the old people. Do you notice that? Calling us old folks by name, saying, now what can I get you, Mr. So-and-so, and what would you like to drink? Did you notice that they ate after we ate? Did you notice that? Isn't that a beautiful thing? That was just wonderful. And Mason and Micah, you were right in there helping, and I'm not trying to leave anybody out. Jack was probably right there working with them too. And that was just a really, really good thing. And that's what being a child of God is about. It's about serving other people for His glory, not our own. And so as we think about respecting our parents, I was thinking about Matthew 5 and verse 20, where the audience must have been shocked when Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. I think the audience thought, man, I don't have a chance. But the point is that the scribes and Pharisees looked really religious. You know, they had all the right clothes. They had all the right rituals. They looked good up front. They looked good out in public. But inside, at home, when it came to doing what was right on a family basis, they were corrupt to the core. And so what might look really good, what's really powerful religion on the stage, is not what life in Christ is about. It's about how we serve at home, how we serve family, and how we serve neighbors. It's not being self-serving, but having a servant's focus. And so as we think about that, I'd like for you to think about respecting our parents and divorce yourself from the culture at hand, if you might. And think about what God is telling a second generation. Tomorrow night we hope to focus pretty much on the book of Deuteronomy. Moses has the challenge as a 120-year-old man to try to get a second generation whose daddies have died in the wilderness to get it right. Because their dads didn't get it right. And so as we think about this, God is reminding, He's going over this again with the second generation. And He says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Honor father, mother. Now, I don't think that's what you're getting on network television. And I'm afraid that's not what you're getting in the culture at large. But that's God's prescription for blessing every generation. Also, you're going to see that quote come up again in Ephesians. As we've been reminded that every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places is in Christ, we see the blessings in Christ, chapters 1 through 3, and then 4 through 6, this is how it looks in practical living. Of course, He deals with a husband-wife relationship, He'll deal with servant-master relationships, and now He wants to address the idea of children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, that you may live long in the earth. That sounds like that Deuteronomy 5 passage, doesn't it? That's where it came from. And so as we think about this principle, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He didn't say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is easy. Children, obey your parents because they're always right. He said, children, obey your parents because this is right. And if we can't learn to honor and respect and obey our parents at home, we're not going to know how to navigate any other relationship of life. When it comes to teachers, when it comes to police officers, Brian, when it comes to our government at large, if we don't learn the idea of submissive respect and obedience to parents at home, we're probably never going to learn it. Now, some people do late, in spite of some really bad parenting. But I want you to think about that principle, and I want you to notice as it develops then, as we think about those Pharisees again, as we come to Matthew chapter 15, these religious elite folks, Jesus replied as they are responding to him, and he says, "And why do you break the command of God? For the sake of your tradition. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death." You know, I think back, it was a long time ago, but I think back to when I was a teenager, and I don't say this with any pleasure at all. I had a smart mouth, and especially a smart mouth with my mother. There were times when my dad probably should have just laid the back of his hand to my person to correct me. May I just make an observation, fathers? I don't think that you would allow any other man to walk into your home and speak to your wife the way some men let their children speak to their mother. What are we thinking? Teenagers, maybe you're not a teen yet. I wish I had done better. And my prayer is that you will do better. And just because you're taller than your mama doesn't give you any right to treat her with disrespect. That's just absolutely a principle of God. So please be thinking about that. Don't imitate some of us. Do better than we did. But as we think about this, here are these religious elite. But what they would say is that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God. Remember Mark 7, the Corban idea. So he's not to honor his father with it? Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. They were really good at loopholes. They came up with a rule that said, look, if I make a contribution at church, I don't have to have any financial responsibility to honor my parents. How cool is that? I'll just write an extra $100 check and I don't have to worry about any of the nursing home bills or anything else that's coming down the pike. Where can I sign up? Now that's religion corrupt to the core. But that's exactly what the people that looked really good in public would do in contrast to righteousness. So as we think about those kind of things, I just ask you as you look at this, is this sun rising or is this sun setting? I don't know. I don't have a cue card down below. I don't have some extra PowerPoint notes that tell me. I'm not sure whether it's going up or going down from the human perspective on earth. But you know, for some people in this audience, their sun's rising. But for some of us, the sun set. And that's always the way it is. Some of us are on our way out. Now, I'm not trying to announce doom and gloom. You know, not too long ago, we had a second evangelist come to work with us, and I pointed out that he must increase and I must decrease. Somebody said, well, is Alan sick? You know, has he got a disease? Is he retiring? Well, none of those things that I know of right yet. But I do know that I'm a dying man. And I do try to impress upon young people, particularly those of college age, that the sooner you figure out you're dying, the sooner you can start figuring out how to live. It's dying people that can really start thinking about, now how do I want to live the rest of my life? And you'll live every day with intentionality. Because we're on the way out. So whether you see this as a rising sun or a setting sun has to do with your perspective. But I want us to recognize that for us as we get older, it's a great blessing to have remembered our Creator in the days of our youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they're few. and those looking through windows grow dim. I believe Solomon is grappling with what's coming. And he goes on to talk about when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desire no longer is stirred, then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about in the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well. And the dust returns to the ground it came from. The spirit returns to God who gave it. And so as the writer of Ecclesiastes, I think it's Solomon, speaks about in older translations the evil days. He doesn't mean they're morally evil. He just means they're hard, they're difficult, they're troublesome days. We hurt more. Someone has said that growing old is not for wimps. Try not to amen too loudly, you 80-plus group. But when you ask an 80-plus-year-old person, how are you? Well, I'm fine. Well, they're fine in heart, but it doesn't mean that their back's not splitting because of sitting on this difficult bench. It's harder to get up. It's harder to walk. It's harder to do things we used to do. They're difficult. They're evil days in that sense. It's not that they're immoral in their experience. But as we think about those kind of things then, as we reflect upon those days when the kids were little, someone said something about Clarksville, Tennessee. Well, I actually said something about Eddie. But that reminds me about when our girls, Lindsay wasn't even a year old, the young lady who was here today, and she was tumbling down the hill there in Clarksville. On the day when you see us, old and weak and weary, have patience and try to understand us. And young people, it's going to be hard. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be really hard when you see your parents and your grandparents. They just can't do what they used to do. Now, I know you've got grandparents. Some of you got grandparents in their 80s, and they seem like they're in their 50s. But it's going to be hard when you see that their memory's just not what it was, that they just can't go like they used to go. And so try to understand and try to be patient and recognize that if we get dirty when we're eating, if we can't dress on our own, please bear with us. And remember the times we spent feeding you and dressing you. And you'll notice the culture of that, dressing you up. We don't ever talk about dressing up anymore. What I'm saying to you, young people, is your parents and grandparents are going to get old. And they're not going to be able to keep a real nice, neat plate. And they're going to spill food on themselves. And they're going to have to wear a bib, probably. And they're going to need some help getting dressed. The things that they did for you when you were a little child, you're going to need to do for your parents and grandparents. As you honor God. And so, if we tell you the same story over and over again, you ever have an old person just tell you the same thing and you just smile and just like, try to listen like you've never heard it before? What did your kids do when they were little? They wanted you to read that same story over and over and over, and you've told them 1,000 times the same story, and read it one more time, Dad, in an effort, you know, not to go to bed. How many times did you repeat that story before you went to sleep? And remember, when we don't want to have a shower, don't shame us or scold us. Remember, we had to chase you around with 1,000 excuses to get your shower. You know, I don't know if that's especially boys or not. But there's going to be times when you're going to need to give your parents a shower. Or your grandparents shower. And there are going to be times when they say, no, I don't need one today. Don't shame them. Respect them and honor them. And work with them. This is what righteousness is about. It's about showing honor and dignity and respect to old people. And so, as I experience often, you see my ignorance in new technologies. Help us to navigate through those worldwide webs when older people are just overwhelmed with the things that go so easily to you. We know that we just take our smartphone and hand it to a five-year-old, but may I say something to you? They can push buttons, but they don't have the wisdom and maturity of the woman who's 75, typically. Kids aren't any smarter today than they were in the 1860s. Let me just take you to the state of Kansas and look at their rules for graduating from eighth grade. They may know how to push buttons, but there's a difference between technology and maturity. And so when older people may not know how to push all the buttons, do not think that they do not have wisdom that you would do well to listen to carefully. And don't mock them and don't make fun of them because they can't connect. Respect them. And so our parents and our grandparents, they taught us so many things. My mind keeps going back to that place called Indian Creek in the hills of West Virginia where my grandparents lived. They taught us so many things. They taught us to eat right foods. They taught us to dress appropriately. They taught us to fight for those things which are right. Let's appreciate that. Let's continue to respect that. And when there's some moments when they just lose their memory, they just lose the train of thought of what the conversation was, give them time to come back around. You know, some of us can remember when we had disc. Not Frisbees, but I mean LP disc. And sometimes with our old age, we kind of have to wait for that record player. I know you think my cassettes are old, Mike. You don't imagine a record player. That it has to come around one more time. And give an old person time for it to come around. And guess what? If it never comes around, just let them keep going. Just let them tell. Because what's most important for older folks is that younger people will listen. And listen with respect. That's what's going to mean the world to your grandparents. And so, if we one day just say, I don't feel like eating, don't try to force an elderly person to eat. Most of the times, they know well when they need to and when they don't need to eat. Now, you may be thinking, well, Alan, you don't know what you're talking about. I mean this kindly, yes, I do. Both my parents are dead. And I saw what happened over 6 years in the nursing home. And I saw what happened with Parkinson's disease with my dad. And so I do have a sense of what we're talking about here. And some of the rest of you do too. And this is about right living. This is about fundamentally honoring father and mother. And this is about grandchildren. If you're thinking grandchildren, well, I don't have any responsibilities. If you'll check your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 4, you will notice that the responsibility to widows is both given to their children and their grandchildren. So a very important part of being a child of God is caring for our grandparents. And you can start doing that at a very young age. I'm really encouraged to see these young people serving. You can start teaching your kids. You need to think about grandma and serving her, not just serving yourself. It's just a really important principle that God instructs for those who seek to be his children. And so, when our tired legs give way and don't allow us to walk without a cane, don't run past old people, whether you're in the assembly or somewhere else. Do you realize that some children have been very seriously, at least potentially, injured because little kids would run and hit and knock a woman's feet out from under her when she's holding a baby, and the baby would squirt about three rows and hit the pew? So, yeah, kids, I don't love to run as much as I used to. But running is fun. And running around and chasing each other, that's fun, isn't it, Brody? It's just a lot of fun to do that. But you know, there's some danger in it when you've got elderly people around you. So moms and dads, try to be helpful. And if you see me just kind of scooping up a child, please don't punch me in the face. I'm just trying to navigate and steer. And so we're just learning to appreciate older people, helping with wheelchairs, helping with walkers, not knocking the cane out, all those thoughtful things that the people of God do. Lend us a hand. The same way we did when you first took your faltering steps. We have a lady back in Lafayette. She's a survivor, but she feebly can get down the stairs, and her son's not serving the Lord right now, but he's watching us. I try to make sure that if I don't, somebody else is making sure she gets from the porch to her son's car as he comes back in. I want to suggest to you that's pre-evangelism. That's communicating to him, we care about your mother, and we care about you too. See, there's so many ways to serve the gospel up in serving our family and serving God's family. And so as we think about those kind of things, let's be helpful. Let's think about how we can help. And then there's going to come that day when our parent or grandparent is going to say to us, I just don't want to live anymore. I just want to die. And we're like, well, wait a second, you can't do that. Yes, they can. They're not trying to commit suicide. They're not advocating euthanasia. They just know that their body's given up. And don't get angry. Someday you'll understand. You, Marlon, said in the prayer, if we're ready, take us home. So someday we're going to realize that despite our mistakes, we always wanted the best for you. And we tried to prepare the way for you. Yes, we made mistakes. Yes, we didn't do it right all the time. But we tried to give you the truths of God, the path of righteousness. We tried to walk it ourselves. And we're asking you as children and grandchildren to walk God's way based on your own conviction. But if we could say, imitate our faith. And so that's what we're wanting to communicate. And so as we face those challenges, we're going to see that our parents and grandparents tried to prepare us. If you've been blessed with those kind of parents and grandparents, as some of us have, don't feel angry. Don't feel sad. Don't feel ashamed of having us near you. Instead, try to understand us. And help us like we did when you were young. Little kids do some dumb stuff. And sometimes those of us who are older do some dumb stuff. And sometimes we just can't do the stuff we want to do. We can't walk like we used to. We're all bent over. And we can't straighten up. And we can't walk like we did. Please don't mock us. Please don't make fun of us. We didn't mock you when you were bent over and trying to take your first steps. Please don't be ashamed of your parents when they're doing the best they can and all they can do is fall down into that wheelchair. You roll that wheelchair with appreciation for your parents. Please do that. That shows love for God and love for your parents. So help us. We're asking you to help us to walk. Help us to live the rest of our life with love and dignity, and probably the only pay you'll get for some of us is the smile and by the immense love that we've always had for you in our hearts. That'll be a rich payment. And so what parents are trying to say, what grandparents are trying to say, I was telling Mike on the way down, he's still just amazed at this ancient car that he's been riding in today with the cassette tape player. And I don't mean that in any unkind way. But I told him there's one cassette that I'd really like to have. All the rest of them can go. But my grandparents, before my grandma died, they recorded on cassette a message for each of their grandchildren. And we've got it somewhere, I sure hope. Cindy's a great organizer. It's got to be somewhere. But I want to go back and listen to what they said to me 30 years ago. Rich treasures of wisdom from godly people. Simple, not highly educated people, but hardworking, trusting God kind of people that sought to give their grandchildren to the Lord. So really, you know, what we've kind of done is we've not really talked to the young people. We as grandparents, man, we've got a big responsibility here, don't we? We need to live with dignity and wisdom and respect, and we need to find every opportunity we can find to feed our children and grandchildren the truths of God and live them out in our lives. Because there are a lot of people who, when they get to their 50s, they just go ballistic and become idiots. Men in midlife crisis just forget everything about what they've ever committed to and make some foolish decisions that ruin the lives of many. So when we get in our 50s and 60s and 70s, we need to be really showing the way, paving, carving the way, teaching our children not only how to live, but how to die. And that's our final task. Teach our children how to die. So as we think about this blessing, mom and dads are trying to say, I love you, child. I love you. And they're reminding us, as is the Holy Spirit, that our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we'll be like his glorious body. Think about that order, folks. When nothing is working anymore and it all hurts, one of these days God is going to give us a glorious body. He's going to transform this body into an immortal body. He's going to give us a body that's like Jesus' body. And so when this imperishable then will have put on the imperishable, and the mortal will have put on immortality, then will come about the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I didn't quote that 1 John 3 passage. That reminds us about Jesus that we shall see him just as he is, for we shall be like him. And so, if we're going to be like him then, we're going to have to be like him now. We're going to have to be transformed into the image of Christ in the present. We're going to have to be crucified with Christ so that Christ lives in us, so that the life we live in the flesh, we live by faith in the Son of God who loves us and delivered himself up for us. And we're going to become sons or children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all who've been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We come into that relationship. And so Jesus wants us to know him. And he says, eternal life is to know my Father and to know me. I guess it will always ring in my ear the Friday that we had made determination, along with Dad's permission, that he was going to go to the nursing home. The Parkinson's disease was getting to the point where sometimes he would be out of his mind, and caregivers were being put at risk. But we had talked many months before about his realization of what was happening. Hospice had been involved for quite a while because of the degenerative disease. But on that Friday morning, when I went into his room, just before 8 o'clock in the morning, he knew it was his last day in his home. In this home. And what he said to me was, he said, I know whom I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day. And what I'm telling you, my dad was teaching me how to die. He'd spent 55 years teaching me how to live. Jesus has taught us how to live and how to die, and then how to live again with him forever. And you don't want to miss that. But if you've not been walking in righteousness, if you've not been honoring and respecting parents and grandparents and neighbors and friends and brothers and sisters, it's time to start. Because we all want to go home. If you're not ready to go home, why wait? Won't you come?